Britain's Prime Minister appears to be treading more nimbly through the global field of military alliances and diplomacy than through a domestic field that Americans might suspect would be a lot easier to negotiate. Between visiting President Bush and returning to host Pakistani President Musharraf, Tony Blair has released his government's plan to reform the House of Lords. Under it, a small minority of lords will be hereditary. Some will now be elected, but many will be appointed, so many that Blair's own Labourites, as well as the opposition Conservatives, are complaining about the enormous prospects for patronage. Political writer Simon Hoggart of the British daily The Guardian says people all over Britain are underwhelmed by the proposal.
They're saying it's an absolutely terrible plan. The phrase we use here, and I'm sure you use there, is a dog's breakfast. And dogs love lots of juicy bones, and this new plan is full of bones of contention. The point is that the House of Lords are equivalent of the Senate, the upper house, I suppose. Traditionally used to belong to hereditary peers, lords, barons, viscounts, earls, counts, all those kind of people.
These are the hereditary peers, but for many, many years now, the House of Lords has been stocked equally with people who were appointed to titles of nobility and were peers only for the length of their life. They couldn't pass their title on to their heirs.
Exactly so. They were what we call life peers. They were usually the great and the good people of experience. There were scientists, there were businessmen and women, in some cases TV stars. Sounds ridiculous, but there it is. And people who had some kind of experience of the world, a lot of them, of course, were just retired politicians, and they were given the title of Lord for the rest of their lives, but that didn't go on to their sons and daughters. So how do you sort it out? I don't know. The government here clearly has no idea how they're going to do it. But what is certain is that the old days in which you had lords wearing scarlet velvet robes with ermine, that's the winter coat of the stoat, to trim their robes and their crowns, wandering around in coronets, that's obviously going to go.
Well, you're saying, though, that while there still will be people in Britain who will be known as the umpteenth baron so-and-so, or the 17th viscount of this or that, they'll have no more legislative authority than the Duke of Paris has today in France.
Exactly, or the guy who comes and empties my garbage house. People will go on calling themselves Lord this and Lady that, but they simply won't have any say in how we're governed. So it will be the case that nobody, absolutely nobody, for the first time in something like 800, 900 years, nobody in Britain will be allowed to be part of the legislature simply because of who their father was. And this will be rather unique, and I think a lot of people in this country will be rather pleased about that. At the same time, I have to say, as an old geezer myself, I'll be slightly nostalgic. The House of Lords is the most magnificent place. It looks exactly like a Victorian's idea of what a royal palace ought to have looked like, and the people who inhabit it look exactly like a Victorian idea of what the people who live in a royal palace ought to look like. In a funny way, I'll miss it, even though it's obviously ridiculous that we kept it for so long.
Well, Simon, that's the last question I want to ask you before I let you go, which is, how do you understand this fact that Britain, a country that extended the franchise to the poor long ago, that has had Labour governments, socialist governments, liberal governments, how is it that this country has taken so long to divest inherited nobles of a right to vote on government matters?
Weird, isn't it? The thing is that we've never had a revolution in this country. We're one of the very few. Or, in the case of a country like Germany or one like Japan, a terrible, catastrophic military defeat. We neither had either of those, so nobody ever had to pick up and start again. And what that meant was that the parliamentary, the constitutional institutions tended to be set in stone like the bones of an old Tyrannosaurus Rex in Montana.
Simon, thank you very much for talking to us today. Simon Hoggart, political correspondent and columnist for The Guardian newspaper, spoke to us from the House of Commons in London.